is for a an old man on his last night. Is there anything I can do for you, sir? Yes. You could stop the clock from ticking. You could teach the barking dogs how to cry. All my own are gone. Could he not take me with them, father? Why? Do these walls claim me for their own, and the rising sun mock me in the sky? My bones are still as sculptures, my skin wrinkled paper grey. The night times are lonely, and I hate the company of the day. The doctor says my body's fine, priest sees my spirit in dismay. And when he looks into my soul, he sees still bodies lie. Take me to my wife, my lord, dress me in my finest black tie. Days without meaning, nights without dreams since she did die. These kids don't understand me, and I can't make out what they say. Their laughter has an echo, and their smiles are made of clay. I wish it would end, the long life for which they pray. I wonder how Daddy is, said the son to his brother. He doesn't talk all that much, and when he does, he speaks to Mother. And though his eyes look out at this world, his mind sees another. As he looks at the clock, he longs for it to chime, and he asks the setting sun, when will be my time? When will the mourners come? Who will speak the words in rhyme? I wish maybe he would talk to us, maybe he would recover, describe the avenues of his mind that he has yet to discover. But his heart's fixed upon eternal peace with his lover. But Daddy, we're still here, and the doctors say your body's fine. Rest your weary head, bridge the valleys of your mind. The morning paper said he left two sons behind. The church door swung open. The grandson wore his grandfather's tie. It's for the best, some said. Others said he willed it to happen. He's with her now, they acknowledged. It must be tough on the boys. Hands were clasped together, pallbearers walked in tandem, congregation lit candles, the elegy rhymed, the clock stopped ticking, barking dogs began to cry. Thank you.
Alright, everybody. This one has a very, very short title. Other. Okay. Other is a clever little word. Keep it handy when telling the truth, and also when covering it up. Because few things are absolutely true, and those that are remain elusive. Others used a lot in love and war to convince another of your sincerity. For example, if your other half asks you, who is that other woman on your voicemail? Take a deep breath, look her in the eye and say, you know that I love you and no other. It's just the same with politics. Somehow or other, invading other countries is done for their own good, especially if they have extensive fields of oil and gas or other things we need to keep us going. It's self-interest passed off as solidarity. On the other hand, the O word can let you down and even ricochet right in your face. And if that ever happens, then play it cool and turn the other cheek. Otherwise, me and you, him and her, us and them, self and other, might all disintegrate. Yes, disintegrate. Because you can't have one without the other.
Carol, from the snow. Spoon fed upon the drum of the snow's glare, and frozen peaches and tins, and my prayers to pagan idols, the knife, the door, the bottles, beer and whiskey, long empty, a keyboard of crystal foliage tattooed upon my memory. The air here tins by the hour, and I freeze into an element unknown to science, alien to kinesis. A bear stalks the cabin at night. My insomnia watches her, watching me. She hears her steps, crunch, her snorts, her elliptic geography.
Sinead Ryan is there.
Orion saw, I slept. The glow of Orion shone like a fire that night, blazing over you and I, over you in a hot bus rocking over rough Ugandan roads, and over me safe in my Irish bed. That night I saw dreams, and while Orion blazed, you lived nightmares, bubbles of fear bleeding like poison through your mind. I lay in my warm Irish bed by the same glow of Orion that softened my dreams, shone its light on your nightmare of machete madness, and still I slept.
The great Mary O'Connell.
Hi, I wrote this very recently, and just the blue states I discovered in the United States are the ones that are not Republican. The red ones are Republican and the other ones are the Democrats. And it's called Red in Tooth and Claw. The election of a president for the United States is not an easy task. With all the candidates making their pitch, Republicans are fighting fit, but fear the party may be split. Will Newt give way to Mitt? Gingrich has this itch to put minors on the moon. Perhaps he wants to feature as an extra in Cocoon. This spaced out politician needs to come back down to earth. His opponents have been exercised, dishing out the dirt. A newt is defined as amphibian with a tail, but the tail of his shenanigans is fairly off the scale. An ethics violation cost him a hefty fine, $300,000 for stepping out of line. An open marriage was his aim, he told his second wife. The poor thing had believed that marriage was for life. She was simply being selfish to want him for herself. His secretary Callista was such a fetching elf. She made no such demands on a man of his renown. So he opted for divorce and hightailed it out of town. He can't stand welfare mamas, all those checks that must be signed. But he plays his cards quite subtly, with Georgia on his mind. Mitt Romney is the one to watch, the bane of his foe's life. Bain Capital was the company Mitt believed was rife with stragglers and wasters who didn't pull their weight. So he sacked them and bought their shares at nearly half their rate. He's been called a corporate raider, a vulture on the rise. He once said he liked firing people, which is no surprise. This Mormon politician can converse in fluent French, but flouting his convictions must cause him quite a wrench. A pro-choice, gay rights activist is what he claims to be. But the church in Salt Lake City cannot possibly agree. Despite his earning millions every year, this perfect gent has a personal tax deduction of just
13%.
Seamus, his Irish setter, was put into a crate that was fastened to the roof of the family estate. They were on a 12-hour journey when the kids became alarmed. The dog had started barking in the heat and could be harmed. They begged their dad to clean the crate, but could not even guess he'd use a hose and carry on, not bothering with the mess. These Republican front runners both need to be astute. But what if Mitt's a nitwit? And what if Newt's a brute?
Ryan Montals. Last night at 9, as the clock did chime, I sat down to write a few lines of rhyme. As to what I should write, I did not know. So I said, go on, John, and give it a go. There are many topics, from algebra to psychology, which are beyond an ordinary chap like me. So I must think of one, as just for the fun, have it rhyme with something that sounds like E. Now, considering all factors and matters, and even things that don't matter at all, if you were to take notice, it would have you in tatters. It would drive you halfway up the wall. Some of these factors would even baffle fine actors. When on the stage they expertly perform, as a matter of fact, to get in on the act, joviality would have to be the norm. Laughter is the best medicine, they say. So at times, whether night or by day, if you can manage to have a good laugh, it can ease up your worries by half. For when you laugh, it shakes your physical frame, and your mind it shakes up just the same. And better than some other remedies might do, it can bring out the good bright side of you. Now, considering all things which I've mentioned, and things of which I've said nothing at all, we can try ease down our cares, frets and worries, and relax joke and have quite a ball. For it is said that a little nonsense now and then is often relished by the very best of men. These few thoughts of glee, which you all do for no fee, make us feel a little more upbeat and carefree.
I get inspired by this song, the new album by Arcade Fire, so that's very similar, just what is different is the reality of the chord, I'd say nobody can compare this beauty what is here, no way, so that's all.
Passing by through Significant. Let us not look at the prosperous event in hand. Experience crosses the mind's focus elsewhere, towards what cannot be predicted by the instruments of time. So happily looking forward to the exams to harvest, I cannot but look at what happens at their end. In celebration, not so long now, we fancied just ourselves and kissed in unison in celebration. There and then, nature and sin, in hybrid flower and gave fruit, and the sweetness can only be repeated. People exist apart, but surely they have souls that long not only for their home and the Creator, but somebody else's heart from time to time. But between the mini rest and the mini paradise, may the electricity between these bodies sink, to catch into view from Catch it to view, perfection for a second time. Thanks.
Cheers, Matt. And the last poem of Obeil 243 is going to be from Rap.
This is Robert Burns, 1759 to 1796. Tam O'Shanter. Just to sort of give it a bit of historical context, Burns wrote in what was known as Lowland Scots. So it's not English, it's not Gaelic, it's Lowland Scots. So some of the words you might be going, what does that mean? But if you get into the kind of rhythm of the piece, it will make sense, I think. Okay, Tam O'Shanter. When Chapman Billies leave the street and droopy neighbours meet, as market days are wearing late and folk begin to take the gate, where we sit boozing at the nappy and getting through and unca happy, we think not of the long Scots miles, the mosses, water, slats and stiles that lie between us and our hame, where sits our sulky, sullen dame, gathering her brows like a gathering storm, nursing her wrath to keep it warm. This truth found honest Tam O'Shanter, as he from Ayr did one night did canter, all the Ayr which no other town surpasses for honest men and bonny lassies. O Tam, hadst thou but been so wise and taken thy aim with Kate's advice, she told thee well there was a skellum, a blethering, blustering, drunken blellum, that from November till October, one market day, thou wasna sober, that ilka melder with a miller, thou sat as long as thou had siller, that every nag was caught a shoe on, the smith and thee got roaring foo on, that at the Lord's house, even on Sunday, thou drank with Captain Jean till Monday, she prophesied that late or soon thou wound would be found deep drowned in Doon, or catched wee warlocks in the muck by Alloway's old haunted kirk. Ah, gentle dames, it gars me greet to think how many counsels sweet, how many lengthened sage advices the husband from the wife despises. But to our tale, one market night, Tam got planted unco right, fast by an ingle, blazing finely, who ream and swats have drunk divinely, and at his elbow suitor Johnny, his ancient, trusty, droothy crony. Tam loved him like a very brother, they had been through for weeks together. The night drove on with songs and clatter, and aye the ale was growing better. The landlady and Tam grew gracious, with secret favour sweet and precious. The suitor told his clearest stories, the landlord's laugh was ready chorus. The storm without might rail and rustle, Tam didn't mind the storm or whistle. Care made to see make a man so happy, e'en drowned himself among the nappy, as bees flee hame with loads of treasure, the minutes winged away with pleasure. Kings may be blessed, but Tam was glorious, over all the ills of life victorious. But pleasure are like poppies spread, you seize the flower, its bloom is shed, or like the snow falls in the river, a moment white, then melts forever, or like the Borealis race, that flit ere you can point their place, or like the rainbow's lovely form, in vanishing amid the storm. Nae man can tell of time nor tide, the hour approaches, Tam must ride, the hour of night's black arc, the keystone, the dreary hour Tam mounts his beast in, and such a night he takes the road in, as near poor sinner was abroad in. The wind too blew as for blown its last, the rattling showers rose on the blast, the speedy gleams the darkness swallowed, loud, deep and long the thunder bellowed, that night a child might understand, the devil had business on his hand. Well mounted on his grey mare Meg, a better never lifted leg, Tam scalped on through dub and mire, despising wind and rain and fire, while holding fast his gid's blue bonnet, whilst crooning o'er some old Scots sonnet, whilst glowering round with prudent cares, lest bogles catch him unawares, Kirk Alloway was drawing near, where ghosts and hoolets nightly cry. By this time he was crossed the ford, where in the snow the chapman smoored, and past the Burks and Meikle Stane, where drunken Charlie's breakneck bane as through the winds and by the cairn where hunters found the murdered bairn, and near the thorn aboon the well where Mungo's mother hung herself. Thorin doon forth all his floods, the doubling storms rose through the woods, the lightnings flashed from pole to pole, near and more near the thunders roll, when glimmering through the groaning trees, Kirk Galloway seemed in a blaze, through Ilka bore the beams were glancing, and loud resounded mirth and dancing. Inspiring, bold John Barleycorn, what dangers thou can make us scorn? We Tippany will fear the evil, we Uskabay will face the devil. The swat sea reigned in Tammy's noddle, fair play he cared nae deals a bodle, but Maggie stood right stare astonished, told by hand and heel admonished, she ventured forward on the light, and wow, Tam saw an unco sight. Warlocks and witches in a dance, nae cotillion brent newfie France, but hornpipes, jigs for strathspeys and reels, life and metal in their heels, a winnock bunker in the east, their subtle nick in shape o' beast, a towsie tyke, black grim and large, to gear of music was its charge. He screwed the pipes and gat them a skirl, till roof and rafters all did dirl, coffins stood open like open presses that shod the dead in their last dresses, and by some devilish cantrip slight, each in its cold hand held a light, by which heroic Tam was able to note upon the holy table a murderer's bones and give it airns, two spanling wee and christened bairns, a thief new cut fae a gate, where his last gasp is gap did gate, five tomahawks wi' blood red rusty, five scimitars wi' murder crusted, a garter which a babe had strangled, a knife a father's throat had mangled, whom his ain so o' life bereft, the grey hairs yet stuck to the heft, wi' mair of horrible and awful, which evil to name would be unlawful. As Tam glowered, amazed and curious, the mirth and fun would be fast and furious, the pipers loud and louder blew, the dancers quick and quicker flew, they railed, they set, they crossed, they cleaved it, till Ilka Carlin swore and weak it, and pushed her duddies through the walk, and linked it at it in her sack. Now Tam, oh Tam, had they been quains, oh plump and strapping in their teens, their sacks instead of creasy flannin, been small like 1700 linen. Their breeks o' mine, my only pair, that once were plush o' good blue hair, I would have gien them off my hurdies, for ablink o' the bonny birdies. But with a bedlam's old and drool, ring woody hags would spawn a fool, louping and flinging on a crummock, I wonder did he turn thy stomach. But Tam came what was off full brawly, there was one winsome wench in Wally, that night enlisted in the corps, long after Ken on Carrick shore, for many a beast to dead she shot, and perished many a bonny boat, and shook both meikle corn and bear, and kept the countryside in fear. Her courtesy, O Paisley Harn, that while a lassie she had worn, in longitude was sorely scanty, it was her best, and she was wanted. A little kenned thy reverend granny, that sap she coughed for her wee nanny, with 2 pund Scots, was all her riches, would ever grace a dance of witches. I hear my muse her wingman cower, such flights are far beyond her power, to sing her nanny lap and flang, a supple jad she was and sprang, and how Tam stood like one bewitched, and thought his very een enriched, even Satan glowered, and fidged through fain, and hooched and blew with might and main, first till first a caper, soon another, Tam tint his reason a' together, and roars out, "Well done, cutty sack!" And in an instant all was dark. And scarcely had he Maggie rallied, when out the hellish legion sallied. As bees bike out with angry fight, when plundering hells assail their bite, as open pussy's mortal foe, when pops she starts before their nose, as eager runs the market crowd, when catch a thief resounds aloud, so Maggie runs the witches follow, when money an eldritch screech and hollow. Ah Tam, they'll get thy fairn, in hell they'll roast thee like a hern. In vain thy Kate awaits thy coming, Kate soon will be a woeful woman. Now do thy speedy utmost, Meg, and win the keystone o' the brig, that at them thou tail may toss, a running stream they dare may cross. But ere the keystone she could make, the fiend a tale she had to shake, for Nanny, far before the rest, hard upon noble Maggie pressed, and flew at Tam with furious ettle, but little wished she Maggie's mettle. Ye spring were off her master hail, but left behind her own grey tail. The carline caught her by the rump and left poor Maggie's scarce pistol. Now where this tale O true shall read, Dog man and mother son take heed. Whene'er to drink you are inclined, or cubby sarks run in your mind, think you may buy the joys o'er dear. Remember Tam O'Shanter's mare.